Hey, everybody. Glenn Beck joins the program. We talk about all sorts of different things, and I think you'll really like it. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. And if you have been touched by our program, moved by our program in any way, I encourage you guys to go to members.charliekirk.com. It is an affordable way where you guys can subscribe and become an insider. When you are an insider, you guys get exclusive interview content like this Tucker interview, like our Steve Bannon interview, like our Vivek Ramaswamy interview, like our Glenn Beck interview, like our Jonathan Isaac interview. And you guys can also listen to all of our programs advertiser-free. It's a phenomenal deal. So check it out, charliekirk.com or members.charliekirk.com, and become a member before the year ends. We're growing this community, and it helps us a ton. It allows us to stay on top of the news without fear of cancellation, without fear of censorship, so we can keep on saying what is true regardless of boycotts and all that nonsense they try to throw at us. So if this show has made you think differently about an issue, if this show has impacted your life, if this show has enriched your life, go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab and become a member before the end of the year, because in 2024, it's going to be a year, everybody. It's going to be a year. So go to charliekirk.com and become a member today, charliekirk.com, and become a member and get your friend to do the same. And as always, you can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. One more thing for you to consider. If this show has blessed you this year, you guys can support us. $50, $100, $250. Some people give $1,000 before the year ends. It's at charliekirk.com/support. If you guys had a blessed year and you want to give back to our program, helps us hire staff, promote the podcast, grow the podcast. It helps us stay strong as we head into the consequential 2024 year, as we've done hundreds of speeches all across the country and brought you content every single day. So go to charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. You guys can voice your support and pledge your support right there, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Glenn Beck.
How are you?
Amazing speech.
Oh, thank you.
For the audience that didn't catch it, try to capture some of the essence. What was, you know, you delivered a message of hope. You recited the Declaration and had the audience do the same.
The spirit of it was we have to be for something, not just against. And we cannot fight for the America that we love if we don't know the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. It is our mission statement. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And the Constitution is our owner's manual. Mm-hmm. And like guys usually do, never read the instructions, never read the owner's manual. And I think we're treating Washington, D.C. a little like the Apple Store. It's not working. Can you fix this? And we just go to the guys, you know, with the little name tags, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll fix that, and we'll charge you $1,000 for a new one. I mean,
exactly,
because we don't know, even really most people, the three branches of government or who the Senate is supposed to serve, why
yes.
we have only 2 years for the Congress.
Yes.
Why are they reelected so fast? These were all things that were put there for a reason, and because we failed to recognize that we needed to know those things and needed to watch those people, it has slowly morphed into something that it was never intended.
I'm going to ask you a wonky question,
okay,
but our audience is going to love it. Direct election of senators. Was that one of the death blows that was kind of a...
Oh, yeah.
Educate our audience on that.
So the Congress is elected for 2 years because they're the only ones that are supposed to have their hands on the purse strings. They're the only ones that can enact taxes. Yeah. They're the only ones that can take the money from you and spend the money. Everything is supposed – that doesn't happen anymore. Everything is supposed to happen. And the reason why they have 2 years is because you want to vote them out. If they're raising your taxes, you want it to stop. Get out. Okay. Then that was to protect the people. The Senate was intended to protect the states. So they were not supposed to answer to, you know, why are we, why do I care about Chuck Schumer in New York?
Or Cory Booker or Elizabeth Warren.
Any of them. Why do I care about them?
It was supposed to be an anti-popularity contest.
Exactly right. And they were actually chosen
by the
state legislatures. So, and their job was, don't do anything. Don't allow them to do anything that is not in the best interest of our state. Okay? So you'll see already the legislative branch is made to stop things from happening. Okay? Stop. Slow it down. The president's job is supposed to be the weakest of the three branches. His veto is not because I don't like it, but because it's unconstitutional. He's supposed to look at those things and say, this is not constitutional. I veto it. Okay? That's not what the veto means now. And the last step, you would think, would be Supreme Court.
Of course,
but that's not, because that's the tyranny of the minority.
Yeah, and they also write laws now. Which is
correct. Like, the only reason why we have Obamacare is John Roberts saying, you got to write it this way, and we're going to interpret it
and
this way.
And nationalize gay marriage, too.
Correct.
Yeah, Obergefell.
Yeah. Correct. So the Supreme Court, you're not supposed to have nine people deciding. We're all excited when they decide our way. The left is excited when they decide their way. We shouldn't be excited. Those are nine people. Do you know where the original Supreme Court courtroom was?
I don't.
In the basement of the Capitol.
Yeah, where they belong.
They never designed the Capitol to have the courtroom in there. They were such a small part of our government that they were like, find a space in the basement. And that's where they were until FDR. He built the grand building and made them into something that they're not supposed to be. Those are tyrants of the minority, the smallest minority, nine people.
Yeah, the intelligentsia. So there's so much there I want to unpack, Glenn. So the direct election of senators is interesting to me for a variety of reasons. And I think you can be a really important voice here because you are, I would say, cautious about embracing populism. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
There's a lot of populist elements in the conservative movement, of which I embrace and I love. But then, you know, the voice of Glenn Beck that I was trained on 10 years ago, talk radio, kind of measures that.
Yeah.
So we should talk about that.
There's nothing inherently wrong with populism. There's not. As long
can
as
you define
have,
it? I'm sorry, just for our audience.
Define it?
Popular. Like, is it the will of the majority? Is it?
The will of the majority. Right. What's popular? You know, let's go this way.
Got it.
That's as long as you have a government that has the checks and balances that our founders put in there to slow it down. You know, you run to the Patriot Act. Oh, my gosh, they attacked the World Trade Center. We were all devastated by it. And even I was duped for a week on the Patriot Act. What the bad idea. But it was very popular. That's why they give them the names, the Patriot Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, which has nothing to do with that, because it will appeal to the popular voice. It will appeal to the people. No, government is not supposed to act on whims and on the popularity of something. They are supposed to be much more measured. We can do things, you know, we forget our rights. All of the rights that are at the government, they belong to us.
Yes,
they're ours.
Yeah,
we loan them to them. They think that they're all their rights and they'll pick and choose which ones you get to exercise. That's a bastardization of the entire system.
So populism is a catch-all term, right?
Yeah.
Critics, some conservative critics would say, this is dangerous. You're doing just the left-wing thing.
Explain populism. What's your definition of that?
Well, I mean, I'm being devil's advocate, you know, okay. but they would say MAGAism, right? Pandering to the needs, wants, and concerns of the masses, overly pandering. Creating.
He's not pandering. No, let me just say something about that kind
of populism.
Of course,
I'm a big Trump guy.
So I know. Yeah. And Trump, he's done great things. He's done other things. Policies, I think he's pretty good and strong. Yes. You know, the way he just brings it on himself all the time is just so frustrating. However, with that being said, he's not pandering. You know what people like about Donald Trump? That he actually cares about them.
Yeah, that's right.
All over the world, I talked about this in the speech, all over the world, farmers are standing up and they're saying, what are you doing to me? You're killing me. You're putting me out of business. And then you're taking my farm from me.
Yes.
For what? For something that I don't believe in. None of the farmers believe in. You know, the vast majority says they don't. Yes. They'd rather have food than, 100 years down the road, or if that even happens, that we might have half a degree temperature raise. Nobody's listening to them. So Donald Trump, every time they punish him, the average person feels like he's the only guy that I may not agree with everything he does, but he's the only guy that is actually answering to me.
Yes. He listens.
He listens. If that's populism, then I'm all in.
Yeah. And what I'm getting at is there any fear that you have that we might get William Jennings Bryan-esque, you know, what they would consider populism of the early 20th century, which you've written extensively about, is that a concern you have that this metamorphosizes?
It is why I put my speech together the way I did.
I figured.
I wanted to make sure
that we're anchored to
the principles of the nation.
Yes.
You know, if you are anchored, my first citizenship, I will not lose my first citizenship to save my second. Okay, my first citizenship is the kingdom of God.
Yes, it's eternal.
Okay, it's eternal. That's the only one I really truly care about. Now, as long as that's safe and fine, and I don't do anything to lose that citizenship, I'll fight for my second citizenship in the way my first citizenship allows me to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be very, very careful that we don't lose our first citizenship fighting for the where I get nervous.
Yeah, tell me where you get nervous. That's what I want. Yeah, I want you to be the kind of voice in the room. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
I've been waiting a long time for Martin Luther King. I have been waiting a long time for somebody to preach values and principles and how to stand up with no anger. It's really hard to do. It was easy when I was saying it early on, 2008, 10, 11, 12, 15, and people would say to me, what are you doing? Why are you even talking about this? Why is Martin Luther King important? Because you're going to get to a place to where you are so angry, you just want to strike out. That destroys all of us. January 6th, did we strike out or did they make it look like we struck out? I don't know. Does it matter if it happens again? It could all be FBI agents. You know, let's say the election goes, you know, goes awry, okay, one way or another. And they're all dressed in FBI uniforms, okay?
Yes.
And we've got we see them with their badges and their walkie-talkies. And they go into the Capitol. And everybody says, they just did it again. They'll hang anything on us. Mm-hmm. So two things I'm worried about. One, that we are disciplined, that we know what we fight for, not against. Mm-hmm. We fight for something. That's why the Declaration of Independence was so unique. It didn't start with, you know what, King, you did this and this and this, and I've had enough of that.
They get there. but
right, they
it
do
starts
get
with
there.
A universal claim.
Correct.
An eternal claim.
Yes.
And one in the course of human
And that has to happen first, okay? Yeah. Instead of...
It's a prerequisite to the complaints.
Exactly right. And the...
And the end, by the way, is universal, too. It's a prayer to Jesus. The supreme judge
with
of the world, which is
firm
Jesus.
Firm reliance.
So it starts eternal and ends eternal, and the beginning is specific.
Correct.
So broad, you know, broad, narrow, broad.
Right. And the other thing I am concerned about is Alexander Dugin. Most people don't pay attention to Alexander Dugin.
Treasury Secretary or something?
Oh, Alexander Dugin. Oh, I'm surprised
you don't know. Yeah.
Alexander Dugin is called Putin's brain.
Oh.
He's the guy who's brokered the deal with Iran. He's the guy who had the Crimea plan. That's his plan. He's the guy who is leading the charge of
BRICS.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And also saying... The West is perverting everything of God. Now, he's not a man of God. Putin's not a man of God, okay? It's evil. If you read any of his books, you should read the fourth political theory, I think. You will read some of his books because they're written for Russia, but he translates and rewrites for America, too, and the West. And you will read, like, the first chapter, and you'll be like, this guy gets it. He's right, but you have to understand he is a guy who believes in anarchy and literally the apocalypse. He says we have to go back before the Enlightenment, okay? That it's the Enlightenment that caused all of this trouble. When we had the churches in charge, everything was fine and we were doing the work of Jesus. He doesn't believe in Jesus, okay? He's just a political machine. Mm-hmm. But he is capturing a large part of the Eastern Bloc. Now he's starting to capture Iran.
So this is interesting. Yes,
and
he's also
in our churches here in America.
So not being familiar with him, but that sentiment.
Yes.
Let me play devil's advocate, because I don't know him, but I know
it's... Yeah.
I know, Glenn, it's hard to disagree. We have... Democrat staffers filming gay sex in our Capitol. That's modernity.
I know.
Doesn't it feel right to say, let's go back? I'm playing somewhat devil's advocate, right?
Right. And
you can
so
understand that sentiment, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. That's why I say.
The debauchery, the degeneracy.
That's why
right?
I say.
It's clever, right?
You'll read the first chapter and you go, damn right. But the devil is in the details, okay? And that's why I'm concerned about populism. Let me ask you, who were the first, what books did they burn in Germany first?
What books did they burn in Germany first?
Most people don't know this, so don't feel bad if you don't know.
I wouldn't know. Yeah.
So the first transgender surgery happened in 1926 in Weimar Republic, okay? If you look at the Weimar Republic, they are the United States of America today. They had all kinds of books about transgenderism. This guy had to have so many surgeries by 1929 when the doctor stuffed a uterus in the man because he's a woman. Okay. It killed him. Okay. But they were preaching exactly the same thing in the Weimar Republic, which is why people are easily say, but it's an absolute lie. It was a Christian thing. Hitler was a Christian. That's Christianity. No, it's not. No, it's not. But when Hitler came out, the churches, which had already been lost, they were dead inside. The churches were so upset of what was going on. They saw this little man as a way to get those books. They were in the schools. They were in the universities. So the brown shirts, the first book burnings were from the University of Sexology, okay, that was preaching homosexuality, transgenderism, gender fluidity, all of that stuff. Those books were found in our children's libraries in the schools, if you were a German, okay, exactly the same thing. And the churches were like, turn the other way. It's okay, because we're going after this. This is against God's word, and they lost. They lost themselves in it. So the devil's in the details. Yes, you feel that way. Yes, I want it out of my schools. I'm not a book burner myself. I thought we all learned that lesson in the past, but I am for a return to, as I called in my speech, the simple laws of God. You know, if I'm a big fan of Rudyard Kipling, The Gods of the Copybook Headings. Are you familiar with it?
Not very.
So he talks about copybook headings used to be, and we did, well, I did them in my age. When you were in grade school and you're first learning to write, it would say, water will wet, fire will burn. And it was printed up at the top, at the copy head. And then you would copy that. And those things were never controversial. It was water is wet, okay? Everybody can agree on that. Rudyard Kipling went through this back in the 19-teens. And by 1920, after World War I, he was like, we're in trouble. And it's because we abandoned the things we know to be true, mm-hmm. always universally yeah. true. Water will wet, fire will burn. And he talks in this poem. It's a fantastic poem. I wish I had my iPad with me. He talks about how it is you're conned into all these beautiful things, that pigs have wings and wishes are horses, and the gods of the market will give it all to you, okay? And then they'll promise you all kinds of things, like perpetual peace. But once you give them your arms, they sell you bound and gagged to your enemy, okay? But in the end, when the gods of the markets withdraw, and as it says, the smooth-tongued wizards withdraw, the gods of the market with terror and fire return and explain it one more time. As it was in the beginning, it will be again in the future. And it sets itself right. All we have to do is set ourselves back to the basics. And it's the basics in America is not a church state, okay? It is a state. Our founder said this system is wholly inadequate for a religious or immoral society. That's right. Well, that's us.
It's John Adams, yeah.
We've got to encourage each other. And if the government does anything, encourage by releasing all of their charitable stuff that they do, please relieve us of all your charity, the United States government, and what you're doing around the world. Mm-hmm. That's not charity. That's a horror show. What you're doing enslaving people here in America is a horror show. Yeah. Give it back to the people so we have a chance to serve God by serving others.
What you're hitting on, and it's going to come to a head on the right. It might not come to a head in 2024. Is that I would say that a growing group of people, they're not huge fans of modernity. So this, they would agree with,
Alexander
Dugin. What would your defense of modernity be? Because we have more people killing themselves, more divorces, more
How are you defining modernity?
Post Machiavelli?
I would say it's postmodernism.
Okay.
That's what's killing us.
That's fair. Postmodernism. So post Derrida.
Yeah. So it's the rejection of tradition. It's not even tradition. It's a
brave new world is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are a new water will yeah, wet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fire that's will right. burn. Yeah.
It's
don't
what, it's
steal,
what C.S.
Don't
Lewis
loot.
Warned against, right? Yes. Which is but what I'm getting at is I'm seeing this bubble up, and I see it both ways, to be honest, Glenn, right? Because I love some fruits of modernity, right? I mean, come on. I love antibiotics, right?
Yeah.
I love the ability to be in air conditioning.
Right.
But I don't love the fact that we have more people killing themselves than ever before. So what you're saying—
Because that is not modernity.
Okay.
That is postmodernism. there is no reason to live. Post-1960s. Yes, there's no reason to live. Yeah. It's all horrible. You're going to die in a fiery flood.
Nihilistic.
Yeah, nihilistic.
Fatalistic.
There is no God. There is nothing.
Camus, right. Okay. Yes, exactly.
That you can survive in a very modern, futuristic world. You cannot survive in an amoral world that teaches lies.
Do you see this debate starting to rage a little bit more in churches and on the right? So you see what I'm seeing, right?
Oh, yeah. And I know you're more of a fan of it.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. And I am it is of grave concern to me.
Yeah. And by a fan, I see post-1960s neoliberalism, and I agree with you. Has done great destruction. I never lived before that, right?
Yeah, it's the progressive movement.
But I guess the question is, does liberalism consume itself? That is a question.
No, it'll consume everything else, and then it will consume itself. Okay, the problem to me came when we made science our god. Okay, when
you can thank Darwin's for that.
Yeah, I know. When Darwin came out and said in The Descent of Man, and even in his first book, there are favored races.
Yeah, that was the title of Origin of Species. Right?
Correct, the full title. Yeah,
which this gets
the survival of the favored races.
Yeah, it gets conveniently edited.
Right.
Yeah.
Once you have that confirming the worst dark parts of man's heart. Oh, yeah, I am superior. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that scientific codification of the dark hearts of man, you can go anywhere. Nietzsche, when he said God is dead, he was warning.
Yeah, he was lamenting.
Yeah, he was like, right. be careful. Who is your God going
to be? But let me play that out a little bit. Was Nietzsche warning that modernity was about to? That's what some people, that's what Jordan Peterson would say, right? He would say that Nietzsche was saying, whoa, you guys have no idea. But you would say, whoa, no, we got to get back to the founding, right?
Because we're not Germans.
Laws and nature of nature's God.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
We're not. If we go back and we start, if our churches play a role in everyone's life and heart, and it's helping change the hearts of people,
mm-hmm.
and we are honoring our first citizenship,
yes.
our second citizenship in America will be fixed, okay? Because it lines perfectly with our Declaration of Independence. Tell me something more God-inspired or God-like than we believe all men are created equal.
What I think you're doing is you're also providing a solution for the right to say, focus on the promise of the Declaration of the Constitution.
Focus first.
That should be the telos, right? That should be the destination for all of us.
First, focus on God, on forgiveness, on humility, okay? We cannot have God in our life if we are not humble. I pray all the time, Lord, humble me, humble me. Now, I've said that before. And he comes out with it. That's one prayer he answers every time with a giant hammer. So, you know, I usually pray, Lord, humble me, humble our country. I mean, not in the worst sort of way. Can you gently do it? He's tried. We cannot fix anything without being humbled.
So we have 5 minutes. So I'm going to kind of get to something. I see my friend Michael O'Fallon here, and he knows that we debate this.
Mm-hmm.
Christian nationalism. Is that what we're kind of dancing around here? This kind of.
I'm not dancing around it.
No.
Yep.
No. But I know. But how should we think about that term? Should we.
Christian nationalism.
Because that's their new play, as you
well
know.
Yeah, I know. So Christian nationalism, I think, is a play by them and not necessarily a play by those regular people. Okay. There is this Christian nationalist movement that is Alexander Dugin style, very, very dangerous kind of path.
You would say maybe more like Deneen would be a philosopher?
I don't know Deneen.
Okay.
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 So And that is it, the line is so fine that you may, this is why I said in my speech, you know, you, it's hard to know the difference between good and evil sometimes. At times it's becoming easy in some places, but when you try to fix something, it is, it's Abraham Lincoln. It's, you know, I'm wildly paraphrasing here, but it's pretty astonishing that both sides were praying to God to end the war in their favor.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. It is the understanding that God is in charge, not man. And man screws things up every time he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. No. Our founders, this is why I'm against the calling of all the states, the Convention of States.
The Convention of States, okay. Project.
Used
sure.
to be for
Mark
it.
Meckler. Yeah.
Yeah. Used to be for
I
it.
Remember, yeah, you were a signatory or something.
I loved
yeah.
it. Yeah. Loved
so
it.
So why are you a runaway convention?
Because I do. No.
Okay.
I don't think we are humble enough, spiritual enough, people that will listen to God. You go ahead and fill that room full of people that are half of what the people were that put that Constitution Man. Together.
So then we got 2 minutes then. Glenn, yeah. Do we have the raw material then to save this? I mean, if we don't have the people,
oh,
I feel
yeah,
like...
absolutely. The young generation, absolutely. They're coming back to God. They're looking at first principles.
Yes.
If we teach them and we don't let the nationalists that want to combine government, if we teach them what our founders did, they're going to be, they are the hero generation. Okay. I'm the latch.
The Joshua generation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're the generation. I mean, the generation of Nancy Pelosi and everybody else.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go, man. Let it go. Okay. You had your time. We've seen what you've done with it. And you've left my generation in between now,
yeah.
where I know I'm not going to get
are,
any
are
of the
Gen
goods
X
or service.
Or,
yeah,
yeah,
I'm the last it, year.
It's the forgotten.
First year
it is the
gen-
most overlooked yeah. generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm sitting here going, well, I'm not going to get anything for it, you know. But I know the younger generations that are behind me, they're worse. They're worse. Our job at my age, Generation X, we need to stand up and say, enough. Enough of what you've done. You started in the 1960s and you've screwed this thing up one way to another. Everything you have touched has been poison. Enough. Let this generation, the young generation, take its place now, its rightful place to restore it.
It's beautiful. Glenn, we are out of time. Thank you so much for speaking
Thank
to
you.
Our students. It really meant a lot to me and to us, and you're excellent. Thank you for being a great teacher.
You got it. Thank you.
God bless, Glenn. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.